listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to Unscripted, a special podcast series from SureScripts in collaboration with the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Unscripted with SureScripts is a six-episode series discussing challenges facing patients and care providers and how technology is creating opportunities for change. This series will offer a variety of voices in specialty medications, different pharmacy conversations, and showcase how SureScripts is driving best-in-class solutions designed specifically to deliver operational efficiencies and, most important, the best patient care. SureScripts aims to keep the patient at the center of all that we do, working to ensure faster, more informed, more accurate, more reliable transfer of information among care management teams.
This episode of Unscripted Podcast is powered by SureScripts. And now here's our host, the founder of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Todd Urey.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, welcome back to the Rx Influencer Pharmacy Podcast. This is a treat for us. We've worked with SureScripts for years now, and they've always supplied us with some amazing information in interviews with innovative people who are actually using the technologies and what that means for patient care. So today is no different. We're really excited to bring to the Pharmacy Podcast Dr. Larry King, who is the Clinical Informatics Manager of Critical Performance Improvements, known as CPI. He's part of the team at SureScripts. He really oversees that quality relationship with key electronic health records and health systems throughout the nation. Can't wait to dig into Larry's viewpoints on different facets of our technology. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Thank you. We're excited to be here today and looking forward to our conversation.
We're also excited to have the CMIO, the Chief Medical Information Officer, Dr. Danny Lee. He's with John Hopkins Community Physicians. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lee.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. Before we get started and really kind of talking and digging into this episode of the Unscripted with SureScripts podcast series, I really want to understand the reason that both of you went into healthcare and serving your populations and the people in your communities. I'm going to start with Larry. Larry, why did you want to become a pharmacist in the beginning, right from the get-go?
You know, it's a really good question. And I've been asked this a whole lot of times. And I think I had really good people around me that pushed me in that direction, saw the ability to be empathetic to patients, saw the ability to be good in a math, chemistry type world. And you know, that journey has continued and really fun, from experience in retail pharmacy to making a big transition to more of a healthcare technology space. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, that core ability to really see patients' lives get better and see healthcare in America continue to progress has been my journey so far.
Danny, you and Larry share something, and that is you started out in the world of medicine. You became a physician, and you went through all that schooling and all of that investment, and now you became a chief medical information officer. Very interesting career pathway, because it's to me, I'm a nerd. I love technology. So that would be my path if I were a PharmD, if I were a medical doctor. So why did you get into healthcare, and then how did you shift to the world of medical information?
Yeah, I mean, it started a while back. I have an undergraduate degree in engineering and had done some internships doing that. But I shifted to medicine because I really just liked helping people and applying that science knowledge into directly contributing and helping people was really a big influence that drove me into medical school. I think part of my background with the engineering and the computer science side of things kind of led me into the IT side of things. I just kind of gravitated towards that naturally. And people looked to me for answers and trying to solve technology problems. And it just kept growing from there. And eventually I just kind of evolved into this position. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's great. We see so many new realms, new positions being created because of the use of technology, artificial intelligence, pharmacogenomics, point of care testing, where physicians and pharmacists are teaming up and it's driven by data. And there's such a need to have that care background, and then applying that hands-on care background to technology, I think makes technology more effective. And when you start working with organizations like SureScripts, I think it just accelerates that. And workflow for me in my beginnings of in the pharmacy was all around institutional pharmacy. It was all around taking care of our seniors. I was part of a team that launched the very first SQL-based open database software system known as Framework LTC. And it taught me a lot about processes. It taught me about repeating things that were important, but it also taught me about customizations as well as the complexity. I wish that prescription workflow were just as simple as that sign, sealed, delivered method, but there are so many issues that can come up in requiring that interventions of physician pharmacist teams and the prescriber's approval and moving forward. So we have standards like Cancel Rx in place that really help the clinician, help patient safety. This episode is really going to dive into how patients and clinicians alike are benefiting from the use of this electronic standardization, the measures there that are going to address that prescription change management. And that could happen on the fly. I mean, we could spend hours talking about the world of specialty pharmacy and how even our SIG quality issues and making prescriptions safer. Can't wait to dig into this subject. So I'm going to really just start out with Larry. What exactly is Cancel Rx? What's that standard and the Rx transfer system?
Yeah, thank you. So Cancel Rx is a really unique offering that has been needed in the pharmacy and in the provider ecosystem for a very long time. And essentially what it is you think about being behind the bench as a pharmacist and how often you either had a patient that came to the counter and said, no, I'm no longer taking that medication, or you had a nurse or a doctor who call your pharmacy and say, what strength of a statin are they still on? Which medication? And what Cancel Rx really is the electronic ability for that communication between the doctor and the pharmacist to say, this patient is no longer on a medication. And I really think of two very distinct use cases, and we'll get more into the detail here where this is vital. And the first is that change in therapy. So you're in the doctor's office and your cholesterol has gotten worse and you need a higher dose. And that's kind of that maintenance change. The second is really around patient safety. And this is where I get very excited. When you think about, I made a mistake while prescribing, clicked on the wrong strength, was having a conversation, but once a day versus twice a day. And that Cancel Rx allows the provider to, in real time, say, no, I don't want that new prescription. I want to change it to something different. And they can send that cancel and then immediately follow it up with a new Rx. And just really, really profound impact on that clean new Rx provider intent, making sure the mistakes aren't on the network. The second message you mentioned was Rx transfer. And this one's relatively new and gaining a lot of momentum. And this is one for me is really exciting. I probably spent half my life in the retail pharmacy on hold with another pharmacy, either trying to give or get a prescription. Anyone who's worked retail can probably have a good laugh about how long they spent on hold. But really what this is that ability to send a prescription to a different pharmacy. Think about a medication being out of stock. You want to make sure the patient can go down the road, or think of maybe they're a snowboard and go to a different state and you want to transfer it down there for them. And that this one really, again, keeps you in electronic workflow and allows that transfer to happen seamlessly.
So the hands-on in the trenches is where it makes the most sense to me. And that is pharmacists and physicians out there that are driving better practice, better usage of technology. And I think of the e-prescription, that was a big deal when I was in long-term care pharmacy, Danny. And I'm thinking, you know, you're the one that has that prescribing start. You're kicking off the ball. You are the quarterback. And I want to just hear from your point of view. Can you describe that scenarios which Cancel Rx and the transfer come into play and why that's so important?
Oh, sure. I'll start off by saying that, in Johns Hopkins, we look at our care models, and we've transitioned from individual providers into care teams, which do include clinical pharmacists as well and as part of our care team. But one of the bridges that we have a tough time crossing are the retail pharmacists, because we're in an office. The pharmacist can be across the street, across the town, and across the state. And patients are coming in all the time after we start new therapeutics. And there can be a variety of reasons to change the prescriptions. Their medical conditions can change. Their kidney or liver functions can change. There's a variety of things that can happen to the patient. Maybe they had an acute stay at the hospital and we've got to reduce doses. These are things that not necessarily that the pharmacist, across the town would actually know that information. And so these cancel Rx messages are so important, because there is a whole host of reasons we do not want a patient to take that medication anymore. And maybe we've substituted out something else, or maybe they're just holding it now because they're not in a condition to really take that medication any longer, or at least need to wait 6 months or a year before they can restart that medication. And taking the medication prematurely could endanger the safety of the patient. And so having that message out there is so valuable, because we want to make sure that the medication list that is in our EMR system matches that of what's the pharmacist seeing on their side too. The source of truth for the medication is always the drug cabinet at the patient's home, but we want to make sure that the three of us are all kind of aligned as much as possible in caring for the patients. And so we use cancel Rx messages all the time. I think our providers are thrilled when pharmacies are taking these messages up, and so that we can improve the safety of prescribing our medications.
I think we take things for granted, and I don't, because I saw the way it was before e-prescribing, which really started to be interconnected by SureScripts back in 1999. Then in 2003, the ERX really started to take off with the Medicare Modernization Act. Electronic prescribing, it became legal in 2007. When I think of the evolution of e-prescribing and where it is today, it's a lot more complex, but it's all happening behind the scenes where pharmacists, physicians don't even realize, what's taking place and the investment that have been made. Larry, I want to know from your perspective, how do pharmacies benefit from these messages types, and what stands in the way?
Yeah, so a couple of things I think, Todd, and the first is just how successful this transaction is when it works. And I'll give Johns Hopkins full credit on this with a study they did recently. Cancel Rx, when it's not electronic, only about 34% of prescriptions discontinued in the clinical setting or were actually canceled in the pharmacy. When they were able to go electronic and when that went live, we saw really, really drastic jumps in the percentage of success, in the ballpark about 93%. And you start to think of just impact to patient. And, I think of my own personal experiences of what medication am I still on? These things are very complex, and often they're on an auto renewal program, and whatever medication gets filled is just what they take. And so that gap from 34 to 93% is really something to be proud of and really excited about. And that's more the patient perspective. I think for the pharmacy perspective, with the long history of e-prescribing, and then really where these tools have become successful, you almost don't notice it's happening. And so part of where we play a really big role in the space is education and getting people to understand what's happening with their systems. Often these transactions are a click of a button and they just happen, in the best case scenario on the pharmacy side, it's automated in the back end and you don't ever actually have to cancel it. It just goes away off the patient's record. And so being out there on the forefront and having conversations like today to really talk about what services and what message types are out there that provide a better clinical experience. And, end of the day, we all are focused on patient safety, but truly do make a safer ecosystem for prescribing is hugely important.
Yeah, I would second that. I mean, we get, when we're seeing patients in follow-up, and as Larry pointed in earlier cases, if I see a diabetic patient and they recently had an atherosclerotic event and I've got to intensify their statin therapy, what I hate to see is the old simvastatin coming across. And I'm like, well, that's not even appropriate for this patient. We changed this months ago after they put the stent in and they're on rosuvastatin and they're at 40. And so, but seeing that message come back, like, you know, these auto refills coming back because no one bothered to take the old one off is really harmful to the patient, because they could be, in some cases, before this, we've had patients taking both statins, you know, and so that needs to go away and it shouldn't exist any longer.
I think what you just said, both of you, around safety and the importance of that, and that's the right hand of the physician, is that pharmacist ensuring that the orders placed are double checked, triple checked, ensure that the safety is there. Larry, what does SureScripts do specifically for listeners who may not even realize what, as we said, it's all happening behind the scenes to help ensure patient safety?
Yeah, as I think of SureScripts, a couple of words that come to mind, and one is experience. So organization's been around for over 20 years doing this. So making sure that prescriptions go from a provider to the pharmacist seamlessly and quickly. But I also think about performance driven. And so a couple of key tenets of the organization is really making sure that we continue to improve workflow efficiency. We continue to improve the opportunity for safe patient interactions. As an organization that's connected with 99% of our chain pharmacies and 97% of all of our independent pharmacies, we see an enormous volume of transactions on the network every year, and making sure that those are all individually thought of as patient records and individually thought of as prescriptions for a patient that, you know, how would you want your parents' prescriptions handled, really is the core of how we look at our organization.
So I want to kind of unpack what you just said around the products, around Cancel Rx and Rx Transfer. So what are some of the successes being seen from the use of these platforms in the real world?
So you'll probably hear a theme for me today. You know, everything kind of falls into two buckets. And the first is workflow efficiency. And so this is just the ability for the pharmacist and their technicians and their staff to do their job efficiently and to do it without interruption. As you think about behind the pharmacy, there's a ton of interaction and interruptions, no matter what. Phone calls are ringing and fax machine and patients walking to the counter. So we understand that our role there is to find every possible point of interruption there and see what we can do to minimize it. And so that's the workflow efficiency side of the world. You know, you'll continue no matter what to hear me talk patient safety, but these are real moments. You know, you think about that moment that matters for a patient where they're stressed and they're trying to make a decision. They're trying to figure out which medications do I have to pick up today and which one do I have at home. And any time that you have to introduce complexity there or make a judgment point that's not necessary just leads to huge risk. So I think of these transactions absolutely in those two veins and making sure that we're doing what's right for the patient at all times.
Dr. Lee, what about you? What are some of the successes that you could kind of give an example for with regards to the evolution of e-prescribing and what SureScripts has built, the pure foundation of all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a workflow issue for us as well. I mean, one of the most complex workflows we have to do in rooming a patient either at the hospital in the ED or in our ambulatory clinics is med reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And we get a ton of reconciliation data that comes across not only from SureScripts, but also comes across from Epic, which is our software vendor. And the less noise there is there, the better, and there's less time that we have to do to kind of weed that out. It is challenging when there's bad data. We know this, and bad data kind of pings around and it travels from server to server until somebody figures it out and says, no, that's not right. And so by having these messages in place and being able to remove medications that are no longer being used really cleans up the medical record from our side of it, the medication record from the pharmacy side of it, and it saves everybody a bunch of times. And you're also not getting needless medication cross-warning alerts because of a medication that they're not taking. I mean, who has time to deal with that? And so these kind of efficiencies are super important. And also it enhances patient safety. So who's not in favor of that?
Yeah. Todd, to put a little finer point where Dr. Lee is here, medication history in 2021, SureScripts delivered approximately 23 billion unique medication history records. And when you start to think of that in a provider workflow and how much data that becomes, it's critical to get it right. And when you start to add in multiple data sources, you know, things like duplicates, and how do we handle it to be streamlined? This is an area where there's so much work behind the scenes to make sure that that file that the provider gets is accurate and correct.
We hope you're enjoying this edition of the Unscripted Podcast. Be sure to visit shorescripts.com and check out their Intelligence in Action blog, which offers smart dialogue about ways to enable better healthcare decisions. The blog has a whole section dedicated to remapping the specialty medication journey. And don't miss the other Unscripted Podcast episodes about specialty medications, which we've linked in the show notes. Shorescripts, the nation's most trusted and capable healthcare information network. Thanks to all the frontline pharmacists and pharmacy technicians for your work in healthcare throughout the nation. We salute you.
Something else that I learned with the podcast in general, and that's always referring to our expert for the legacy, for the historical factors that build to a better environment for our physician and pharmacist teams. And what was really interesting is a 2021 Surescript survey found that only 21% of pharmacists say that they always have enough patient information to provide proper medication therapy and follow-up. And when pharmacists need to reach out to the prescriber to learn more, or even vice versa, a majority of the communication still happens by phone. The fax, goodness gracious, we're still using fax. But what I think of when I think of that back and forth assurance is more relevant information that actually is probably in the electronic health record already, but the pharmacist doesn't have access to it. So when I think of the future and I think of what could be adjusted, because nothing's ever going to be perfect, but we can always refine and improve for those physician pharmacist teams. I think, Dr. Lee, what are your dreams? What are your views of the future, realistically and idealistically? You know, what could the future look like for this?
Oh, Larry's laughing because we've had this discussion. So, the NCPB PDP had a good start with the adoption of some of these messages, and I'm already thinking of what's the next version of these messages. And I would say the number one thing that we can't do, that I'd love to be able to do, is to adjust SIGs and not dispense the medication, right? So what's the number one thing that a patient will come in for? Most of them will tolerate it, but every once in a while, 20, 30% will not tolerate whatever they're doing. And what do we say? Cut it in half, right? So they don't need another source of medication. But if they're on one of those auto refill things, the pharmacy is going to dispense another 90 days worth at the old strength, at the old direction, not the new one. And I've always wanted to be able to kind of transmit some of these messages back to the pharmacy. They say, oh, you saw Dr. Lee, he cut your metformin dose because you were having diarrhea, right? So I'll even send that to the pharmacy, patients having loose stools, cut metformin dose in half. But I don't, so what I'd love to be able to do is the pharmacists send it back to them and they say automatically, oh, you're not going to need this now for 180 days because you got the 90, that's fine, but you're cutting them in half. And those kind of things are where I'd love to be able to go somewhere in the future. I'd also love to have some available standardization of reading those notes to the pharmacy. It is unclear to us on the healthcare side what the retail pharmacy is doing with those notes to the pharmacist. And if there was some national standard or some agreeable standard from our side to their side, that could also be a viable medium where we're conveying messages back and forth from the doctor's office to the pharmacist side of what's going on with the patient and why we're making the changes that we're doing. I know on our side at Hopkins, our providers send all kinds of messages through the notes to the pharmacy. And they're asking me as CMIO, do the pharmacists read that? And I honestly don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And I would love to have some kind of accepted standard for those notes to the pharmacy so that, or some read receipt, so that we know that that was read and seen and understood. And that's kind of also, you know, some of, you know, what I'd love to see in the future. You know, on another type of message that we get back from the pharmacy quite a bit, and I appreciate quite a bit, are the Change Rx messages that we get back from the pharmacy too. That's a wonderful standard. A lot of times it's like a topical steroid or something, and I picked something that was non-formula. That wasn't my intent. I just needed something that was kind of medium intensity steroid or something. The pharmacist come back and says, we don't have that in stock, but we have this. And they send a change RX message. I love that. It saves me time. I'm like, that's absolutely appropriate. I approve it. I can send that prescription back while the patient's waiting at the pharmacy desk, and the pharmacist can fill that prescription and not have the patient kind of go back and forth. It's these types of messages that like pull us together. And so that we're kind of sending more of these messages back and forth. That's where I'd like to see more of this kind of go in the future.
Todd, I think a theme you're hearing, Danny, that we are certainly very focused on and need to do more and want to do more in is how do we get closer to a what I would call real-time two-way communication channel? And so a lot of the messages that we've developed through NCPDP, they have some communication back, but they're largely one-way messages. Cancel tells pharmacy stop medication. RX change is telling the provider I need to make a change. And really we're seeing more and more, and then there's progress across a lot of our fronts, and this is how do you have that more dynamic messaging where there is that piece and there's room to grow here. And I think an area where we will continue to partner and look to leaders like Johns Hopkins to really tell us how do we get better in that space.
I'd love it if there was another message standard. If we had to send any prescription and the pharmacist wanted something like the latest kidney values or the latest liver function test, that we could transmit that to the pharmacist so they have it too. It's not like that we're trying to hide anything. It's just more of that level of transparency between the two sides is just not available. But having that so that the pharmacists are able to also follow, you know, real-time kidney function tests as we're ordering them, because we're the ones who order them, and then share them across the care team is something that we'd love to be able to do in the future as well.
So before CancelRx, there was only about 34% of the prescriptions that were discontinued in the clinical setting were also canceled in the pharmacy. After the implementation of CancelRx went live, the proportion of the successful discontinuations, it jumped drastically. It was 93%. There was a study done. It was titled A Health IT Tool to Decrease Medication Discrepancies in the Outpatient Setting. And it just opens my mind to other things that could come from the assurance that the data that the physician is inputting to the EHR is being communicated to the pharmacist, and then vice versa, where the pharmacist may make a follow-up determination based on allergies or based on interaction with the patient even, and being able to push that data back to the physician. It kind of makes me think, Larry, of that back and forth ability through the systems to assure that changes on the fly could be requested based on what the pharmacist is seeing in their patients. And I'm wondering, do you have other ideas or other metrics that we can share with our listeners about things that they may not realize that's available to them through these technologies?
I do, absolutely. So there's a service out there called Clinical Direct Messaging that we offer. And really what this is it's the ability for the pharmacy and really for any healthcare provider to communicate back and forth. And this transaction became very, very popular with the COVID pandemic. And so the notification of vaccine administration, and you think about that to a primary care provider, you think about that to a public health jurisdiction, just really powerful messaging. And we saw about 23,000 of the pharmacies in America get on board with this transaction. And this led to reporting of over 17 million COVID cases. We saw it in over 66 public health jurisdictions. So really, really deep spread communication on the COVID transaction. And this excites me for several reasons. You know, the first is that it met the need during a pandemic, and that's critical. But I think what it also is doing is proving out the ability of pharmacy to be an active member of that care team. And so we've often lacked that communication gap. And so it wasn't that the pharmacist didn't have the data at their fingertips or didn't have a valuable piece to provide back to a provider, but they didn't always have that vehicle to make it happen. And so now as we continue to explore these and continue to get deeper and involved in workflows on both sides of the provider network, there's a real opportunity. And as you think about expanded scope of practice and some of the roles that pharmacists are starting to doing with testing to treat and prescribing, this is going to become increasingly critical that communication is one, efficient, and two, is just incredibly accurate.
The immunization activity during the pandemic was so huge for us because we were also setting up mass vaccination sites. And in order for us to do outreach and making sure people were getting, the right people were getting vaccinated at a time early in 21 when vaccines were scarce, having that information of which pharmacist was giving out those shots to which patients, and then for the ability for us to kind of record them and import them in and then not hit them with the same message because they've already gotten the vaccine was a big help to us.
I know that the pandemic has taught us all the improvement of workflow processes and communications because of how it brought new challenges to our healthcare system. And in some cases, it brought some of our healthcare treatment abilities to a crawl and to a standstill based on the overload that many of our communities were facing. And I think of how technology is going to continue to pull some of those barriers to care out of the way. And I think of, you know, the numbers that stare me in the face is 620,000. So that's more than half of all prescribers in the country used Surescripts. That's 620,000, almost a million real-time prescription benefit abilities, which was an increase because I can see the time of the pandemic. That's an increase of almost 8% since December 2021. And now I don't think that's going to stop. I think now that we've stretched our healthcare systems, I think now we're going to fill it in with processes, workflow, technology that's already been proven. And it's Surescripts has definitely proven this. Let's talk about specialty medications and the specialty medications gateway transactions, which have more than tripled since 2021. Surescripts is a champion of the specialty pharmacy market, where the complexities are even higher with medication management and adherence for that sake, to assure that patient on that very serious medication because of that condition or disease state. Larry, can you kind of talk to us about some of the involvement that Surescripts has in the specialty pharmacy space specifically?
Yeah, and the answer here really is everything you've heard us talk about up until this point only exponentially increases. And so we talk about need for data. Many of these medications, due to cost and complexity and side effects, they require the pharmacy to have a heck of a lot more information that they never needed to have before. Lab values, past treatment histories, where the patient has succeeded, where they failed, you know, all of the things that have gone into the decision-making process of the provider, the pharmacist is now absolutely being asked to confirm and submit that to with the claim. And the data becomes, frankly, very arduous to collect and make sure you have the right information. And this is an area where Surescripts continues to excel and grow and really hopefully become that trusted partner for our specialty pharmacies and providers, is that we're able to, in real time, actually develop and send over that patient data. Patient weight, you know, is another one that comes to mind. And, you know, how do you use that example of implementing automated enhancements with a specialty gateway to obtain current patient weight, you know, in a weight-based dosing, or, you know, any of these examples where that data is 100% required in order to get an approved claim? And, you know, how do we make sure we present that data to the pharmacist in their workflow and in a moment where they need it in order to complete a dispensing?
Danny, what about other suggestions? You have the ears of hundreds, if not thousands, of pharmacists right now. And as a physician at Johns Hopkins, what other advice, what other kind of lobbing the ball up for the spike that the pharmacist can make on it, on that treatment, that you can give to our listeners today?
Advocate for your patients. I mean, I think one of the things that we like at Johns Hopkins, quite honestly, is I like a very involved pharmacist. I like a pharmacist who is, I don't look at it as questioning. I don't mind that at all. But if it goes beyond what we're able to communicate electronically, for a pharmacist to pick up a phone and talk to me and try to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, that is never time wasted for me. you know, because we're all just involved in the care of our patients and making sure what's best for them. So when I run into a pharmacist who does that, I actually compliment the pharmacist to the patient. I said, you have a pharmacist who's looking out for you just as much as I'm trying to look out for you. So it's complicated, right? I mean, we're all so busy. We've all got a ton of things. I've got pressure from patients. The pharmacist has pressure from the patients. We're kind of, you know, all overscheduled and don't have enough hours in the day. And so it's easy to get overwhelmed. But at the bottom of the day, if you're doing what's best for the patient, you're never wrong.
Awesome. I love that. Larry, in closing, what do you want to say to our pharmacists that are listening in right now with regards to working more efficiently, leveraging technology so that they can do more hands-on patient care, and then also teaming up with physicians?
Yeah, I think I'd at first, right, to echo kind of what I've heard is that it's a partnership. And so I would feel very confident saying every pharmacist out there believes that when there is that agreed upon relationship between provider and pharmacist, it becomes more efficient. It comes faster time to treatment. But what I would say is that pharmacists have also, for better or worse, gotten used to a lot of issues in prescribing, and it just becomes part of the role. And what I hope coming out of this conversation is that there is an enormous amount of work in the background to eliminate that. And so really thinking about how do we deliver that highest quality prescription that can be automated and go through workflow immediately, and hopefully doesn't even have to have a pharmacist's eyes until the very end on it. And so hopefully they see us as that partnership also to continue to drive those prescriptions into their workflows that are going to meet their needs and really keep them, allowing them to work at the top of the practice. And I know we hear top of the license an awful lot, but it really is a ethos that we believe in and an area we're driving to continue to make sure that they are more efficient in the process to get there.
I want to thank both of you. This has been very special having a pharmacist and physician on our shows. This is what I've always dreamed of: collaboration, not only with technology in place, but the two of you echo the same sentiment, and that is the patient comes first. And how do we work better together? How do we partner better together to make sure that that patient knows that they're being looked out for and being cared for? And how SureScripts is the conduit and the technology that many of us don't even realize that's there. It's happening behind the scenes, and I think it's amazing. But I appreciate it because I remember when it wasn't there, and now I'm seeing that the efficiencies that are being created are accelerating better patient care. So thank you so much, Dr. Danny Lee. Thank you. A shout out to John Hopkins for all of your work in patient care, and Dr. Larry King, thank you so much for being the pharmacist star of the show today. And I want to give a shout out to our SureScripts team for putting this together.
Well, thank you. And actually, Todd, just one last thing. I mean, Larry and I have talked about this when we're putting together presentations for HIMSS and other venues. It is hard to find a conference or a venue where those parties are involved: the pharmacist, the doctor, the nurses, you know, the care teams and stuff. And we put our heads together. I mean, there's medical conferences, there are technology conferences, but it's hard to find a place where those separate entities kind of meet up together and talk openly about the issues that we're all facing. And that's something I would love to see in the future as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Larry, thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity. This has been a fun conversation. And, you know, it's one of those amazing places to be where when you find a partner that is highly engaged, it's amazing the work you can deliver and how quickly you can come to an answer where, you know, things that seemed unsolvable or things that seemed like they were beyond reach suddenly become a reality.
Agreed. Listeners, pharmacists out there, pharmacy technicians out there, you are our heroes. If there's anything we can ever do for you, if there's anything that you are wondering about in the realm of technology, please reach out to us. Please reach out to the SureScripts team. You've been listening to the Unscripted Podcast with SureScripts, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We're so proud to have them, and we can't wait to see you at an upcoming conference. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Unscripted, a podcast series from SureScripts. For more information about how SureScripts can help your organization, please visit us at surescripts.com.